Blog Talk Radio.
Radio coverage for your Miami
here by my co-host, Coach Sylvia Guevara. How are you doing today, Sylvia?
Good, and yourself? I'm excited for tonight's game, and hopefully it's a better game than Friday's game. So let's see what happens tonight.
Or the Steelers game. That was a heartbreaker. But we're not here to talk about football. We're here to talk about the Miami Heat and their matchup against the Houston Rockets. Like we've been doing with the past couple of episodes, let's take a quick look at each team's starting lineup. For the Houston Rockets, at point guard, we have Ty Lawson. At shooting guard, James Harden. Small forward, Trevor Ariza. Now, the rest of the front court is going to look unfamiliar to most of you because the Rockets have been dealing with some injury issues. At power forward, I have not had this confirmed, but with Terrence Jones and Monte Eunice both out, I'm assuming that the rookie Montrezl Harrell out of Louisville will begin to start at power forward. And at center, the second-year man, Clint Capella. And now for the Heat, it's going to be the same starting lineup that we've had the previous two games. At point guard, Goran Dragic. At shooting guard, Dwayne Wade. At small forward, Lowell Deng. And down at in the post, we've got Chris Bosh at the four and Hassan Whiteside holding it down in the middle. Now, Sylvia, what are your thoughts on the matchups between the starting lineups?
Well, since the Heat been, you know, they've been using the same starting lineups. Patrick Beverley from the Houston Rockets, he's pretty good, but he didn't play well versus Golden State. One of the three with the threes. Their percentage on the shootings is below, 2-6 he did with the Golden State. So I think that he'd have the advantage on this game because they don't have Dwight Howard. We have Whiteside, which I think he's going to, he's going to get the Heat rolling with the rebounds, which they needed on Friday's game.
Yeah, that's true. The Heat should win the rebound battle in this game. But I feel like the Rockets still have the advantage on the wing, especially with Trevor Ariza, who is sneakily one of the best perimeter defenders in the game right now, and all-world point shooting guard James Harden, who, as we know, is an absolute machine of efficiency on offense. He can hit it from three, he can kill you in the paint, and he definitely will kill you when he gets to the foul line, which he does all the time.
Yes, he does.
Yeah, so going through the starting lineup, I would say that the Heat have a slight advantage at point guard in the matchup between Ty Lawson and Goran Dragic. Now, Lawson is one of the best all-distributors, and he's got a solid three-point game. but he is definitely a liability on the defensive end, and I feel like that's a matchup that the Heat are going to have to attack if they want to win this game. When I'm moving on to shooting guard, I have to give the advantage to James Harden. He's in his prime, like we said, all-world guards, easily could have been the MVP of last year. In fact, the players voted him MVP in this year's, in the first annual playoff player awards this offseason. Sylvia, what are your thoughts on that matchup?
Harden? I think Harden, I agree with you, has the advantage. He could score at any moment. He could create fouls, which you know he's going to do it. He could shoot. His defense is all right, but his offense is amazing. So I think James Harden has it on the Heat this time.
Yeah. And like I mentioned earlier, I give the edge to Trevor Ariza in his matchup with Lil Dang at the three. Lil Dang and Trevor Ariza are very similar players in what they bring. They have the ability to stretch the floor, open up the floor with their shooting, and are great on defense, but Trevor Ariza is just a step quicker than Lil Dang is at this point in his career, and that'll be the difference in that matchup. And the Heat should take care of business with the rest of the front court, as Bosch and Whiteside definitely have the advantage over Montrezl Harrell and Clint Capella. Even though you can't knock off Clint Capella, he is a great center. He does a lot of the things that Dwight Howard does when it comes to protecting the rim and working on the glass, and I can see him developing into one of the best centers in like 4 or 5 years. But he's not going to be there right now, and Hassan Whiteside should have a field day sending his shots back. But
definitely, I agree.
Whiteside, please don't take any jump shots.
That is right.
All right. Now, I think that the key matchup in this game is how the backcourt, who wins the backcourt matchup. These are two of the best backcourts in the NBA. We've got with Lawson and Harden and Dragic and Wade. But the Heat should really be able to take advantage of the fact that Lawson and Harden are not known for their defense, especially Ty Lawson, who, even though he's a great player, at 5'11", is an undersized guard, and that hurts him a lot on defense. Sylvia, what are your thoughts on that overall matchup of the backcourts?
The backcourt, I think that he'd have the advantage. I agree with you. They have younger players, faster players. And, you know, they're working on their defense, but foul trouble has been, concerning for the Heat for the last two games. So hopefully they get their act together, you know. And hopefully Daryl Green, his shooting will be on point today.
Yeah.
So I think that he'd have
it. We saw him in warm-ups. He was looking good. And that takes us to the last matchup we're going to look up. The benches, and like Sylvia said, I think the Heat have the advantage. They're already the healthier squad in this matchup. Their bench players are more experienced. And like I said, the Rockets are down to their third power forward with Montrezl Harrell starting because of injuries. And I'm not even sure who their backup center is going to be in this game. I know that they just signed Chuck Hayes, but I don't know if he's going to be ready to suit up for tonight's game.
Right.
All right. Now, Sylvia, what do you think are the keys for the Miami Heat to win tonight?
Okay, now we saw on Friday's game versus the Cavs. The Cavs won the rebound battle. So definitely rebounds, very important on defense and offense. And also, hopefully, Gerald Green is back to on point on offense. We get Tyler Johnson. Also, Dragic, which he played horrible on Friday's game. He's better on offense with his shots. So I think those are the two keys for the Heat to win tonight.
Yeah, another thing is they can't let the Rockets get out in transition. Both Ty Lawson and James Harden love to push the tempo of the game. Trevor Ariza will leak out to try and get open threes. If that happens, it could be disastrous for the Heat, because even though they are running at a faster pace than they were last season, as we've seen this year, through this young season, they aren't really all there conditionally when it comes to being able to run with the faster teams in the league. So they need to definitely control the tempo. And a lot of that goes back to the rebound game. If you can get those rebound, those offensive boards, you're limiting the amount of times that the Rockets can get out there on the fast break. So I'm looking for the Heat to take a lot of smart shots, not any long twos or bad three-pointers, at least long rebounds, which jump-start fast breaks.
Yeah, I agree.
I also feel like attacking the rim and getting inside the defense is something that is important for the Heat to do tonight. Like we said, Dwight Howard is out, and even though Clint Capella is a quality rim protector, he doesn't have the same imposing presence that Dwight Howard does. And he's still learning all of the nuances of playing in an NBA defense. So there are going to be a couple of times where you can take advantage of him being out of position. But we've seen, especially with Goran Dragic, he's at his best when he starts dribble penetrating, getting into the paint, setting himself up for easy layups that help him get in rhythm and into the flow of the game, and also help him to set up teammates. Because like I said, he only had 3 assists, I believe, against Cleveland, and that isn't enough for the Heat offense to be as efficient as they want to be.
Exactly. Yeah, I think Charmer does that very well. He goes through the paint, and he makes points for the Heat. But he's very good at that. So hopefully we see Charmer doing that, Dragic doing that more too, and the young players that we love.
And Dwayne Wade doing that as well. Also,
yes, he is.
Like you said earlier, we've got to see more from the bench. It wasn't a great performance out against Cleveland Friday night, and I'm looking to see them rebound, especially Josh McRoberts. He did his thing, but I want to see him be more assertive when he's running the offense for the second unit. Sylvia, what do you think?
I agree. He needs to get more, you know, more active, get more rebounds. He should be shooting a little bit more, you know, because I haven't seen him shoot that much as he should. But we'll see. We need everybody to contribute for tonight's game in order for them to win.
Exactly. And in the matchup of young wings, I'm looking to see Justice Winslow do all the things he needs to instead of and contain KJ McDaniels, who's shown to be a dynamic player in transition, even though he's not, and force him to try and attack off the dribble, because that definitely is not a strength for him at this point in his career.
Right.
Another huge thing is to limit the shots that the Heat for the Heat to do is limit the shots that the Rockets like, which is these three areas: the free throw line, the three-point line, and inside the restricted area. Part of the analytics movement that the Rockets have been at the forefront of with the NBA is taking the shots that are most efficient, and those are the three most efficient shots. If you can protect the perimeter and limit those easy corner threes, and also protect the rim, which Hassan Whiteside should have no problem doing, this could be instrumental. Because if you force Houston to start taking the inefficient long mid-range jumpers, it throws their entire offense out of sorts.
Yeah, and the Rockets have the advantage already on rebounds per game.
Yeah,
they already have 46.5 rebounds per game, which is pretty good. So that's the main key, rebound.
Yeah, especially because Dwight Howard was only active for one of those games.
Exactly.
All right. And now moving over to play devil's advocate, we're going to look at what some of the keys to the Rockets winning the game would be. First things first, getting to the foul line and forcing Hassan Whiteside off the floor because of his fouls. As we've seen in this young season, Miami's defense is like night and day when Hassan Whiteside is on the court. Sylvie, you want to talk a little bit more about the importance of Hassan Whiteside staying out of foul trouble?
Yes. Well, you know, he needs just to be mentally prepared. Every game he's getting a little bit better, but it's all mental. You know, he needs to get it together, have control, don't get too excited. So I'm hopefully he gets, you know, he's not in foul trouble tonight's game because they really need him every single night.
I hear you with that one. On Friday, he actually was one of the bright spots in that losing performance. He finished the game with 6 blocks and actually led the team in minutes played with 36 minutes. And coming into the season, a lot of people were questioning if he both physically and mentally would be able to play those minutes on a night-in, night-out basis to be the starting center that the Heat expect him to. So, and, I mean, he's looked good this season, especially coming off that first opening performance where he only played 20 minutes after being benched for most of the first half. Another key is for Patrick Beverley to be a ball stopper on defense and force the ball out of the hands of Goran Dragic and Dwayne Wade whenever he's on the court. Now, even though Ty Lawson is the starting point guard, I feel like Patrick Beverley is going to get a lot of play in this game, possibly even more minutes than him, because they're going to try and mix and match their lineups with the 3 guards that they have, especially because James Harden can function as a point guard at times. And like I said, Ty Lawson is a small guard, and he is a lot less effective on defense than he is on offense, and that's why they re-signed Patrick Beverley. He's a guy who can come in when they need to get defensive stops, and I wouldn't be surprised if he's on the floor at the end of this game if it ends up being close. Sylvia, what are your thoughts on Patrick Beverley's impact on the defensive end tonight?
Yeah, I think he's very good guard, Patrick Beverley. He's very fast, you know, like you said, he's good on defense, but he needs to work more on his offense. As I see here versus Golden State, he only had 4 points.
I'll hold my peace for a second.
Yeah, he needs to be more effective because they really need him, you know, not having Howard on the lineup. And I think he's better than Lawson, but Beverley needs to work more on his offense, definitely.
Yeah. Now, stock has been low on Ty Lawson over the past couple of months, especially because of the events that led to his exit out of Denver with his 2 DUIs over the summer. But it's easy to forget that he is still one of the best facilitators. He actually finished 3rd in assists per game after Chris Paul and John Wall last season and has consistently been averaging somewhere between 10 and 8 assists per game. But like I said, he's not known for his defensive prowess. And going back to Patrick Beverley, you're going to get games with him like that because Patrick Beverley is the type of guy who doesn't take defensive possessions off. He loves playing defense. He just loves getting around and annoying the ball handler. So I hear what you're saying about he needs to be more efficient on offense, especially when he's running with that second unit as the primary ball handler and creator. But like I said, those are games that Kevin McHale and his staff can live with coming from Beverley because of the intensity he brings on defense. Finally, I feel like a huge key for the Rockets tonight is if they can win the rebound battle. Because not only are they not playing their best front court men, but if they get a lot of defensive rebounds, they can start running on the break and get the transition game going, and it could get messy real soon once the Rockets get out in space. We both know that this team has been one of the fastest-paced teams over the last couple of seasons, and I feel like this pace will only get faster with Ty Lawson. Coming from that Denver offense where they used to run all the time, I feel like he will be looking to push the tempo at any chance he gets. What do you think about the importance of rebounds to the Rockets' game plan tonight?
I think it's very important because, you know, since they don't have Howard, they need somebody else to step up for the offensive and defensive rebound, and also Ariza. You know, he's a shooter, so if they're gonna win, they need Ariza to, you know, be on his game with his threes.
Exactly. And like I said last season, Clint Capela, he was very effective. He's a very effective big man. We actually got to see that last season as he was starting for most of the, for basically the second half of the regular season while Howard was recovering from a number of knee ailments, and he did a quality job. But like I said earlier, he's still a young guy. He's still learning the ins and outs of defense in the NBA. So the Heat should really be able to take advantage of him. And also, Hassan Whiteside is just bigger and more physically mature than Clint Capela is. If I am correct, Clint Capela is about my age, if even that. I'm looking it up right now.
Wow, he's very young then.
Yeah, Clint Capela is only 21 years old. And even though he's 6'9", he's only 220 pounds. So Hassan Whiteside should be able to impose his will physically on him tonight.
Yeah, he should. Whiteside should dominate this matchup.
Yeah. All right. And the final thing is if the Rockets can keep their offense flowing and keep the ball moving like they always do and stay taking shots in those areas I talked about before, the three-point line, the free throw line, and the restricted area, they've got the talent on offense to blow this game open with just a five-minute run to push a five-point lead to a 15- or 20-point lead. So if that were the case, I feel like that could be what swings the game. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I agree because the Heat are not a shooting team yet. You know, they lost all the shooters for the past 2 years. So, you know, they've been struggling on their threes. They've been struggling with their threes. Even Chris Bosh, who's now become a three-point shooter. Wade is not a shooter. He could definitely make those threes, but he's not a shooter. So we definitely need to step up.
Yeah, because right now the only person who could catch fire and just start nailing three-pointers on the Heat roster would have to be Gerald Green. But it's been feast or famine with him so far this season. He's either been great and shooting lights out, or he's looked like me playing high school basketball. And there's a reason why I was on the bench all the time. I couldn't shoot to save my life. All right. So, who do you think is going to win this game?
Well, let's see. Well, we see that the Rockets have lost their last two games. They're 0-2 or 0-3, I believe. So What I see here, they've been having issues, you know, with their offense, believe it or not. But if Gerald Green makes the threes, if Wade is on the paint, Charmer helps also drive to the paint. And Dragic, he's back on his game. So I think that he will win because of that, because of their offense and, of course, because of the boards, offense and defense.
Okay. Now, do you have a prediction on the score line?
I would say 101-95.
Okay. Now, Vegas is agreeing with you. They've got the Heat as four-point favorites. I don't feel so good about the Heat's chances in this game. I think the Rockets win by about 2 points. I'd say the score would be 115-113. I feel like it's going to be a very high-scoring game because neither of these teams have been impressive on defense so far this season. I also feel like the Heat will have a hard time keeping James Harden off the free throw line.
Off the free throws, yes.
Yeah, like we've said, there have been a couple of times where the Heat have had foul trouble and it's come back to bite them towards the end of games, particularly in the season opener, where they had a 20-point lead shrink all the way down to
five,
at some point during the game. And a lot of that had to do with how much Charlotte was getting in the free throw line. Three out of the four quarters, the Hornets were in the bonus, and they were in the bonus very early in the fourth quarter. The Cavaliers were in the bonus very early in the fourth quarter of the last matchup, and that helped them be able to put the game away. So if that happens, I think that the Rockets will just be that much, a little too much for the Heat. But like I said, if the Heat can stay out of foul trouble and Hassan Whiteside is playing up to his potential and being the rim protector that we know he has the ability to be, I don't see why the Heat don't walk out of the arena with a win tonight. But that's a lot of ifs, and Hassan Whiteside did get benched for a lot of time early in the first half of the season opener because he tried to do a little too much on the offensive end. And I feel may do that again going against Clint Capela. And we were saying he should be able to physically dominate him. And he might try to do a little too much. And when he tries to do too much on offense, it can have some disastrous effects. He had a couple of early turnovers in that game, in that game against Charlotte, which led to him being benched. So, I mean, like I said, I think that the Rockets win this game. I don't like the guard match. I'm not a huge fan of the guard matchup just because I don't know how long Wade can keep up with James Harden, even though he's been looking very good this season. But
I agree.
There's a reason why we play the game.
You're right. Absolutely right. Yeah.
So be sure to tune in with us tonight after the game for the post-game show. Once we know what time that will be airing, we will be sure to tweet that out to you. Silvio, why don't you let the folks know where they can find you on Twitter?
At Coach Guevara 205.
All right. And you can find me on Twitter at @JILORI_22. Recently changed my Twitter handle. So, again, at @JILORI_22. Be sure to follow and tweet at the station's Twitter account, at 305 Sports and Life. And be sure to let us know what your thoughts for tonight's game are. Now, tip-off is going to be in a couple of minutes. Sylvia, do you have any closing thoughts before we head off to watch the game?
Yes. The Heat have to watch out with their turnovers because they've been making a lot of turnover mistakes, so they have to stay out of that. And the rebounds.
Yeah. And we've got to get a better performance out of the bench, especially Gerald Green and Josh McRoberts tonight than last game night. It was... They got outscored by an undermanned Cavs bench. They're going up against an undermanned Rockets bench, and they should be able to take advantage of that matchup. All right.
Yes.
And like we said, we will be back with them later tonight with the MSL's Miami Heat postgame show. All right. See you folks later. The Heat is on.